Hello and welcome back to my FBL channel. I am FBL Dean and today you are here for your differentials video. Yes, it is that time of the season. We've got 2 weeks left. Maybe you are 30 points behind your league leader. Maybe you're 10 points off top 10K. Maybe you're 10 points off top 1K. Or maybe you're like me and after my triple captaincy fail in game week 36, maybe you're about 35 points off top 1K. This is what you need to do. If you're going to chase those points down, you need your differentials and I have you covered. I've also got the best assistant managers with table bonus ranked in order for anyone that is playing their assistant manager chip this week. Without further ado, smash a like on the video. If you're one of those 50% of people that watch my videos and hasn't yet subscribed, please feel free to do so. That would be amazing to help me to continue to grow. And with that being said, let's go. Differential notes for game week 37. We are into the final two game weeks of the season. I can't believe this. I actually can't believe that when I started this journey at the start of the year, when I was like, I'm just going to get top 10K because that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to make an FPL channel and hope that people get on board. I didn't expect to be in this position at the moment where I'm 6,351. Yes, ironically, my bench boost and triple captaincy chips have combined for 8 points. So I've actually played the season super well, except whenever I've used my chips. So hopefully nobody really followed my advice on that because it's gone pear-shaped for me. But I have been really good at picking differentials all season long. These videos, generally speaking, I put so much effort into them in order to get the best punts. And then I've normally gone with the best punts. I just think back to all the people that owned Phil Foden. I love Phil Foden. I owned him for 5 weeks. He didn't blank in any one of the weeks that I had him. Like, that's how good he was for me. And that was just based on these videos and just working out the fixtures and playing the punts. So look, these guys are all low owned. Yes, the goalkeepers aren't quite so low owned because realistically, some goalkeepers just have really bad fixtures, so you can't really put them in there. Sanchez, Pickford, Flecken, Edison, and Martinez. I'm not covering Edison, but he was really good for Manchester City. I think he's probably got the weakest fixture of those five this week. Defenders, Aynar, he doesn't feature in this video, but he's still a really good differential. Mikalenko, Wan-Bissaka, amazing last week, but he doesn't feature in this video today because I just don't think he's got as good a fixture as some of the other ones in here. Ruben Diaz, again, he features in the video last week, was fantastic. He was a great shout. He was actually better to buy than buying a Manchester City attacker. Who would have thought that? Konsa, brilliant. Again, he can consider himself unlucky he's not featuring this video. Dean, he is in here because of the fact of his attacking potential. Collins is featured for the third week in a row. He has been brilliant for Brentford over the last 3 to 4 game weeks. Colwill comes in with Chelsea playing Man United. Sessegnon, and I know Cucurella is just over 10%. He's 10.4% ownership, but that classifies as far as I'm concerned. I think he's by far and away the best defender to buy at this particular game week. And I'm very glad I already own him in my team. In the midfield, Semenyo, Suchek, Matoma, Ahmad, Martinelli, Gibbs-White, Madueke, McNeil, Ismaili Assar, Marcos Asensio. Yes, I think I said that right. Damsgaard, Neto, Sade, Enzo, Gordon, and Kudos. Look, I have actually done a bumper differential video section for the midfielders this week. There are 8 midfielders this week instead of the normal 4 because of the fact that I just think there's such variation and so many people have very similar midfields. I think that's the reason where you can actually make up some difference. And in the forward line, I've got all the differentials there. Everyone's talking about Ollie Watkins. I reckon that these guys that I picked today are probably likely to outscore him, maybe even monster him, who knows, but I'm definitely weighing up one of them and I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. Jordan Strand-Larsen features here, Vardy, Beto, Delap, Welbeck and Gakpo, and let's take a look at the fixture difficulty rating. So the teams to target, as we can see there, for this particular game week are Everton with that Southampton at home fixture, and they have a lot of assets featuring in this video today. Brentford obviously are still really good and they play a Fulham team that honestly, what I saw on the weekend looked like they were kind of on the beach, if I'm being brutally honest. West Ham are on here as well. I think that Nottingham Forest fixture at home at the London Stadium is actually a really good fixture for West Ham. I'm not sure if they keep Nottingham Forest out, which is why I haven't gone with Areola, why I haven't gone with Wan-Bissaka in defence. But in terms of like their midfield assets, they've actually got some really good ones. Kudos is exceptionally unlucky to miss out on this video. But they are really good assets, and I think they'll be fine this week. Manchester City, Nottingham Forest, Chelsea, Aston Villa, Arsenal, Newcastle United, they're all still fighting for the Europa Champions League. Oh, my God, I can't even get that out. UEFA Champions League. Therefore, they're, and obviously Chelsea and Aston Villa have probably the two best fixtures this week. They're playing a Manchester United team and a Tottenham team who are 16th and 17th in the table and have got no interest in playing this game. They just want to get through unscathed and play off for the worst Premier League team to ever get into the Champions League. That's essentially what they're fighting for. That's all you need to know from the fixture difficulty rating. Let's have a look at the assistant managers for game week 37. So the assistant managers with table bonus, these are them, and this is the order I have them ranked in. Now, Nottingham Forest were god-awful on the weekend at home. The manager's having a tiff, well, not the manager, the owner's having a tiff for the manager on field. It doesn't scream harmony to me, and they've really dropped off the boil. The underlying data for Nottingham Forest has really dived off a cliff. So for that reason, Graham Potter comes in at number one with the Nottingham Forest fixture at home. Now, it's showing up as red on the difficulty rating for West Ham. I don't think it is. I honestly would not be surprised if West Ham beat Nottingham Forest in this game. At the very minimum, I expect them to get a draw. Iraola comes in at number two. Now, they already beat Manchester City once this season when they travelled to them at home. Do I think he can do it again? Realistically, Manchester City, I think, are actually probably more focused on winning that league game against Bournemouth than they are winning the FA Cup final. Because the FA Cup doesn't give them Champions League, and if they stuff up the points after making a meal of the Southampton fixture last week, then they're in a real pickle. All of a sudden, they might end up in the Europa League spot. And that would be ironic that Manchester City end up in the Europa League and Man United up in the Champions League. Who would have thought that? Realistically, Iraola, I think, is still number two. Now, Hurzel may be a little bit unfortunate. Liverpool are a little bit on the beach post winning that title, and they have looked a little bit shaky the last 2 weeks. Obviously, losing to Chelsea 3-1 and then allowing Arsenal to come back into the game with a 2-0 lead and then blowing it and drawing that 2-2. Maybe Hurzel should be higher up. And maybe that's somewhere where you might like to go and take a bit of a risk. Then we've got Rusk, who obviously held Manchester City to a draw, but he's going to Goodison Park for their last Goodison game for Everton at that stadium. I just can't see Rusk spoiling the party. So for that reason, he comes in at number four. But I think he's got more of a chance of getting a result than Amarin or Postecoglou. I think they've got absolutely no chance. Amarin ball, Ange ball. It's literally fake ball at the moment until they get to that Europa League final. And then God knows what we're going to see, but I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to extra time, went to penalties. We don't know what's going to go on in that game. But I can tell you what, the Friday night game is just a hindrance. Amarin versus Chelsea. If Chelsea had Jackson available, I think they'd win this game 4-5-0. In terms of Spurs versus Aston Villa, again, Spurs are going to Villa's home ground. I can just see a spanking on the cards for both these teams. Everyone's talking about whether they're going to play like their full-strength teams to get rhythm and get confidence. Why would you risk an injury 5 days before a final that carries Champions League football? Like, I know other people spin different narratives than that. I just don't understand it. Being a United fan myself, if we sit there and play our full-strength team against Chelsea and we then cop like two or three injuries and then that means us losing the final, I can tell you what. All those people, and I'm definitely Amarin in crowd, all the Amarin out crowd that are already simmering in the background, they'll be out with their pitchforks. So for me, I just think that you just send the under-21s out. So for that reason, Amarin and Postecoglou, don't go anywhere near them this particular game week. So on to the goalkeeper differentials this weekend. Jordan Pickford is back on the menu with that Southampton at home fixture. He is probably, if you were going to make a goalkeeper transfer, he's probably the one. I mean, Southampton they had no goal threat against Man City. I think I only really recall them having one or two opportunities during the watch along on Saturday night. And look, expected goals conceded per 90 is 1.21. He's got 10 clean sheets, which is more than any of the other goalkeepers on this list. He does cost 5.1. But I just can't see him conceding. I can't see Everton conceding against Southampton. I mean, every time I've said that, it feels like Southampton score. I just can't see them doing it this week. Edison featured last week, got the clean sheet. I expect Pickford to do the same. I don't think he's going to get many save points, though. So for that reason, maybe you want to look at some of the others. Now, Flecken obviously has Fulham at home, who, again, look a little bit on the beach. 10% ownership. Again, his expected goals conceded per 90 is definitely the worst of the lot at 1.53. But Brentford have looked so much better the last few weeks defensively. I think they're so focused on trying to get that European spot and finish eighth in the table that I just think they're going to be really solid here again. And for that reason, I think Flecken's a really good option. 4.5 million, maybe that's a way you can sneak him in if you've already not got three Brentford players in your team. Sanchez is someone to keep an eye on. So He's now got 8 clean sheets for the season. Expected goals conceded per 90 of only 1.23. Now, if Sanchez doesn't muck around playing the ball out, then he's normally probably keeping a clean sheet against Man United. I would actually be shocked if he didn't keep a clean sheet in this game. Just on the fact that if they do play Hoyland or they play Chido Obi, I just can't see them conceding. Unless Sanchez goes out and hauls someone down and Bruno gets a penalty, I just can't see it. For that reason, I think Sanchez is really good shout this week. Martinez as well could get the save points. Now, Tottenham, the only thing I've got to say here is that Tottenham do like to score a goal. So for that reason, maybe he's the one you avoid out of these four, just because of the fact that Spurs generally can be a bit free-flowing. But as we saw against Palace on the weekend, their heads just weren't in that game, and I wouldn't expect their heads to be in the game again, which is why Martinez stays on this list, even though he's at 12.8% ownership. So the game week 37 defender differentials. I can't even get my words out today. What's going on with me? So Collins features again. He's the only one that survives from the last couple of weeks, and he's just been great. He's up to 4.4% ownership now, 4.6 million. Again, the fixtures aren't too bad. Fulham at home, Wolves away, potential chances of clean sheets. But really, we've got him for the underlying attacking potential. He's got 2 goals, 6 assists. He got a couple of bonus again on the weekend. He's just been brilliant. He's just been a brilliant asset to own, especially over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Anyone that bought him a wild card in game week 30 or 31 is absolutely loving life. He's been absolutely brilliant. 0.11 expected goal volume per 90. 1.51 is definitely the worst of the four players on here, but he still kept 8 clean sheets. When you look at all the other clean sheets that have been kept here, I mean, it's on a par, right? It's really on a par with everyone else. He's actually kept more clean sheets than Dean and Cucurella, which is insane. And no one would have thought that Brentford's defense is as good as theirs. When we look at Luka Dean, 5.8% ownership, 4.4 million. He's dirt cheap. And if you are after a defender differential this week, he's a really good shout. I mean, Tottenham, I think, are going to concede goals. Dean starts, provided he starts, obviously, instead of Marston, which I think he will because there's no European football midweek. And I was looking at, like, the minutes, and I think that was a lot of the reason why he was getting benched because of the Champions League. But that's no longer an issue, and they are chasing that place. 0.18 expected goal involvement per 90 is elite for a defender. 1.34 expected goals conceded per 90. Again, 0 goals here, but 5 assists, and he's had the 6 clean sheets. I really like him. If you want to buy in there, he's got a lot more uphill in terms of getting a bigger point haul than, like, say, a Konza, which is the reason why he beats out Konza in this video. Mikalenko, 6.4% ownership. He scored, obviously, on the weekend. He was fantastic. And look, Everton's underlying defensive data is unbelievable. 1.16 expected goals conceded per 90 when he's on the field. That's really good. 0.07 expected goal involvement per 90. He's obviously got only a few attacking returns, 1 goal and 2 assists, but he's had 9 clean sheets. And at 4.4 million, he's already risen in price this week. I think he's a really good shout if you're looking for a way into that Everton defense and maybe making a defender transfer. But definitely the pick of the bunch this week, I know he's just over 10%, but he's still on the 10% threshold, is Cucurella, 10.4%. 0.16 expected goal involvement per 90. 1.23 expected goals conceded per 90. He should have an easy day against Man United, and I expect him to get forward and get involved with opportunities going forward. I wouldn't even be surprised if he gets his 5th goal of the season in this game. 4 goals, 2 assists for the season, 7 clean sheets at 5.4 million. He is expensive. I'm very glad I have him in my team. He obviously paid me back a little bit in game week 34 when obviously I needed him on that blank game week. Maybe this is the week where he also pays me back for picking him for Gabriel back all the way back in game week 31, and I'm certainly hoping so. I could actually envisage a 15-pointer for Cucurella this week, a goal, a clean sheet, and 3 bonus points for the man. So on to the first part of my midfielder differentials for this week. And look, you'll see that the fixtures I'm targeting are all on boards. Now, last week, Sade featured in this video. I bought him in and he got me 11 points. So I'm a very, very, very happy man. And honestly, he is a really good shout. And yeah, I just think he's great. I think he's great. I still can't believe he's only at 2.8% ownership. I thought more people might have jumped on. He's just had really good goal involvement and been close to goal over the last couple of weeks when I've watched Brentford, more so than Brian and Mbeumo. So look, if you're after a cheaper option, bit of a differential, want to take Mbeumo on, you can't go too far wrong with Shard, especially if you've not got that much money. He only costs 5.2 million still. 0.35 expected goal involvement per 90. Expected goals per 90. 0.07 expected assists. So his assist threat's not really there, but we've got him in there for the goals. 11 goals and 4 assists for the season. I mean, I feel like he's one of them players at the moment. He's in the middle of like a 5-week spell. So he's had 3 amazing weeks in a row. maybe finishes of another two as well and just finishes the season in a flurry of goals. That's what I'm hoping for. Now, Dwight McNeil comes in here, 1.3% ownership, just based on the fixture against Southampton. So he obviously got an assist in the last game week, a goal in the game week before that. Came off the bench, but I expect him to start in this game, especially with a week's rest between games. 0.07 expected goals per 90, 0.29 expected assists per 90. Nothing to write home about. Only 4 goals and 7 assists for the season, but he has been injured for a lot of it. And he has had a purple patch towards the beginning of the season, and maybe he's going to have a purple patch to finish the season as well. 5.1 million, again, dirt cheap. There's a lot to love there. 1.3% ownership. You just got to roll one of these. Then we look at Pedro Neto. So Pedro Neto is almost a guaranteed starter. So Jadon Sancho can't play against Man United. Jackson is obviously out suspended. So that means that Neto, Madueke, and Enzo and Palmer are almost guaranteed to play and probably play close to 90 minutes. So for that reason, I really love him. 6.1 million, 1.3% ownership, as I said. 0.13 expected goals per 90, 0.19 expected assists per 90, 4 goals and 5 assists. I think he could potentially play as a number 9. So I think Madueke will play on one side, Neto on through the middle, or it'll be Palmer in the false 9, and then it'll be Madueke on the other side. Did I just say Madueke or the other one? Whoever. The other one will be on the other side. That's all you need to know. Then obviously we've got Marco Asensio, 2.7% ownership, 0.63 expected goals per 90, 0.15 expected assists per 90. He's likely to start because Jacob Ramsey's going to be out injured. Tielemans looks like he's out injured. Marcus Rashford is out injured. That means he starts. Potentially, he could be still on penalties. I don't know if he should be after he missed 2 in 1 game, but maybe he is. He could be a really good differential compared to like a Morgan Rogers, which most people are going to go to, let's be honest. His underlying data is still significantly better than Rogers. Rogers has just returned a lot more often. But when we expect Rogers to return, generally speaking, he doesn't. So maybe this is a sign that Marco Asensio is actually the right pick. I just really like that. 4 great options, 4 great fixtures. So on to the second part. And again, Chelsea players feature heavily. So Noni Madueke is in here. 3.2% ownership. Now, his underlying data is actually really good as well. So 0.44 expected goals per 90, 0.13 expected assists per 90. 7 goals, 5 assists, and he costs 6 mil. So the best thing about all these Chelsea assets, they're not very expensive. So if you've got a Clivert like me, it's an easy move, Clivert out for one of these blokes, and then you just play him. Like, I don't know actually who I would bench if I bring one of these blokes in, but that's a question for the team selection video on Thursday afternoon. Obviously, Enzo Fernandez has to be talked about as well. Now, he's got 6 goals and 8 assists, so he's had more returns than Madueke. He's had more returns than Neto, and he only costs 4.7 mil, and he's been pretty much the drum and the heartbeat of Chelsea for like the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks. 0.2 expected goals per 90, 0.2 expected assists per 90. Again, 4% ownership. Like, these guys are huge, huge, huge differentials. And for that reason, I just really love them. Now, we go to Morgan Gibbs-White, fresh off the back of 13 points last week, 1 goal and 1 assist. That takes him up to 6 goals and 11 assists for the season. Now, he's still only at 6.4 million. Again, very easy option to bring in for like one of those middle to lower priced midfielders that maybe you've got sitting in your lineup. They've got West Ham, and I expect them to score against West Ham. Now, if they do score against West Ham, I kind of expect Morgan Gibbs-White, Alanga, and probably Chris Wood to all be involved in that, in any goal that gets scored. So for that reason, I think they're really good. The underlying day has never been good for Forest this season, but they have managed to get away with it for most of the season. Again, 0.18 expected goals per 90, 0.15 expected assists per 90. 6.7% ownership. He is a great differential, more differential than Alanga, where a lot of people went to Alanga last week. In reality, it was Gibbs-White that beat him out. The last time I did that 50-50, it was Alanga that beat Gibbs-White out. So it's a very line ball call. I don't know which one's better, but Gibbs-White was amazing last week. He wouldn't put money against him, not doing the same again this week. And then the last midfielder to look at is Souček. I can't believe how many goals this man scored this season, and no one's really talked about him. And look, I've thought about featuring him in this video a couple of times this season. At 1.4% ownership, this is a different. This is the definition of a differential. 0.24 expected goals per 90, which is exactly the same as Kudos. Kudos actually has 0.09 expected assists per 90 compared to Suchek's 0.05. So there's not much between them. Where there's a difference is in the amount of returns. So Kudos is only on like 4 goals and 4 assists for the season. Suchek, though, is on 9 goals and 2 assists for the season. So when Suchek scores, he generally gets 10 points, like we saw on the weekend against Man United. So for that reason, again, at 4.8 million, against a Forest team that just doesn't seem to know and remember how to defend at this point in the season, I really like Suchek as a really good just punt in the dark. He could just come in massively for anyone that buys him. And lastly, onto the Game Week 37 forward differentials, and this is where you should be looking. Ollie Watkins, yes, has Tottenham at home, and I'm not saying that's a bad buy, and if you're rank protecting, like potentially I could bring him in because a lot of people around my rank are probably going to be bringing him in. And at the moment I've got Haaland, Cunha and Wissa in my forward line. And I don't even know who I'm benching like in my team this week at the moment other than Kluivert. But I kind of want to make a forward transfer. The love story tells you that Jamie Vardy is going to pop off at 4.8% ownership, 0.35 expected goals, 0.08 expected assists, 8 goals and 5 assists for the season at 5.3 million. He is 1 goal away from 200 goals for Leicester and 150 in the Premier League. Like, he's either getting it this week or he's getting it against Bournemouth. My money is on him getting a massive haul in his last game at home for Leicester. I just think it's written in the stars, and for that reason, I really love him and I think he's great. Then we look at Liam Delap, who ironically also plays Jamie Vardy. Again, 3.1% ownership, so lower owned again, 0.33 expected goals per 90, 0.05 expected assists per 90. He's got 12 goals and 2 assists for the season. And against a Leicester team that don't really know how to defend, I really like Liam Delap in this game as well. 5.6 million, again, I mean, he's got a great fixture to finish with as well. He's obviously got West Ham United at home on the final day as well. For that reason, I think you could go near either of these and expect returns this week. Cody Gakpo comes in here in front of like the Welbecks and the João Pedros because of the fact that João Pedro is no longer suspended. I can't guarantee who's going to start there. And I don't think Raul's going to do too well against Brentford. That's just my personal opinion. Gakpo's actually a really good shout at 4.9%. Slot loves him and he always seems to start him. He doesn't play more than 60 minutes, but as we saw last week, it didn't matter. He got a goal, 9 points against Arsenal. That's all you want, really. 0.35 expected goals per 90, 0.16 expected assists per 90. 10 goals and 4 assists in the season. So he's got a lot of returns, but he is going to cost you 7.2 million. So that's the only downside there. But most people that are selling a forward this week are going to be selling Mateta, your Cunhas, your Isaacs, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got the money for it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And Marmoush, obviously, is a popular one as well. Now, the last one, and I actually looked at this move for myself today. So I could actually get rid of Cunha for Beto and my team and then upgrade Kluivert to Palmer. I have the exact money to do that. Now, you could argue whether that's a worthwhile -4 or not. And then who do I bench? But I could see a lot of upside in this move. So Beto, as we've seen earlier in the season around game week 24 and 25, has the capacity to go big. He got that, I think, 3 goals over the double game week in game week 24. 0.44 expected goals per 90, 0.02 expected assists per 90. 8 goals and obviously no assists. 4.8 million. Again, dirt cheap. How is he this cheap? I've got no idea. He's only owned by 3.5% of the comp. With Southampton at home, Southampton are no longer going to be referred to as the derby because they've overtaken them in the points. So I feel like the pressure's off there. And this is the last game at Goodison Park. Again, I can see a narrative where Beto just absolutely explodes. Like Vardy, Beto and Delap, if you had to press me, I think they all potentially match Watkins this week in terms of their outward potential. I just don't know. I think maybe this is where you need to go instead of maybe for an Ollie Watkins this week. Let me know in the comments if I'm barking mad or if I'm actually onto something here, because I'm telling you, these forward differentials this week, they scream points. Especially with the fixtures, I think there's a lot to love amongst all these four players this week. So that brings us to the end of the second last differentials video of the season. Game week 37 differentials, which ones do you like the look of? Where are you looking to make your transfers this week? Are you looking to make a defensive transfer? I don't think many people are. And even when I look at my own team, maybe potentially the biggest upside is actually in making a defender transfer. Like my forward eight is currently starting at the moment is Kevin Sharday and Mbeumo against obviously Fulham at home, Jared Bowen against Nottingham Forest, Kluivert on the bench and Salah obviously against Brighton. And then up front, I've got Haaland against Bournemouth, Cunha against Crystal Palace and Wissa against Fulham. Like, maybe I should move a Brentford player and bring a differential in there. I'm not sure. Let me know in the comments what you think I should do and whatever else you're going to do. I'll be back tomorrow with my top transfer tips. I'm also on FPL Beers Game Week 37 preview live stream, which will be on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. So please go and check his channel out. I'll be live on there talking all things FPL in the lead up to Game Week 37 there. And I'll be back tomorrow with my top transfer tips. I'll see you then. Make sure you like and subscribe. That's been FPL The Unit.